Its thick rope disappeared into the darkness near the ceiling. The glass chimes tinkled. Another flare of that certain power which Agnes did her best to suppress at every turn flashed a treacherous image across her mind.
"That looks like an accident waiting to happen if ever I saw one," she mumbled.
"I'm sure it's perfectly safe," trilled Christine. "I'm sure they wouldn't allow..."
A cord rolled out, shaking the stage. The chandelier tinkled, and more dust came down.
"What was that?" said Agnes.
"It was the organ. It's so big, it's behind the stage. Come on, let's go and see."
Other members of the staff were hurrying towards the organ. There was an overturned bucket nearby, and a spreading pool of green paint. A carpenter reached past Agnes and picked up an envelope that was lying on the organ seat.
"It's for the boss," he said.
"When it's my mail, the postman usually just knocks," said a ballerina and giggled.
Agnes looked up. Ropes swung lazily in the musty darkness. For a moment she thought she saw a flash of white and then it was gone. There was a shape, just visible, tangled in the ropes. Something wet and sticky dripped down and splashed on the keyboard. People were already screaming when Agnes reached past, dipped her finger in the growing puddle and sniffed.
"It's blood," said the carpenter.
"It's blood, isn't it?"
said a musician.
"Blood!" screamed Christine. "Blood!"
It was Agnes's terrible fate to keep her head in a crisis. She sniffed her finger again.
"It's turpentine," said Agnes. Sorry, is that wrong?"
Up in the tangle of ropes, the figure moaned.
"Shouldn't we get him down?" she added.
Candu Cutoff was a humble woodcutter. He wasn't humble because he was a woodcutter. He would still have been quite humble if he'd owned 5 logging mills. He was just naturally humble. And he was unpretentiously stacking some logs at the point where the Lancre Road met the main mountain road when he saw a farm cart rumble to a halt and unload 2 elderly ladies in black. Both carried a broomstick in one hand and a sack in the other. They were arguing. It was not a raised voice argument, but a chronic wrangle that had clearly been going on for some time and was set in for the rest of the decade.
"It's all very well for you, but it's my $3, so I don't see why I can't say how we go."
"I likes flying."
"And I'm telling you, it's too drafty on broomsticks this time of year, Esme. The breeze gets into places I wouldn't dream of talking about."
"Really? Can't imagine where those would be, then."
"Oh, Esme."
"Don't owe Esme me. It weren't me that come up with the amusing wedding trifle with the special sponge fingers."
"Anyway, Grebo don't like it on the broomstick. He's got a delicate stomach."
Cutoff noticed that one of the sacks was moving in a lazy way.
"Gither, I've seen him eat half a skunk, so don't tell me about his delicate stomach," said Granny, who disliked cats on principle. "Anyway, he's been doing it again."
Nanny Ogg waved her hands airily.
"Oh, he only does it sometimes when he's really in a corner," she said.
"He did it in old Mrs. Grope's henhouse last week. She went in to see what all the ruckus was, and he did it right in front of her. She had to have a lie down."
"He was probably more frightened than she was," said Nanny defensively.
"That's what comes of getting strange ideas in foreign parts," said Granny. "Now you've got a cat who..." "Yes, what is it?"
Cutoff had meekly approached them and was hovering in the kind of half-crouch of someone trying to be noticed while also not wanting to intrude.
"Are you ladies waiting for the stagecoach?"
"Yes," said the taller of the ladies.
I'm afraid the next coach doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop until Creel Springs."
They gave him a couple of polite stares.
"Thank you," said the tall one. She turned to her companion.
"It gave her a nasty shock anyway. I dread to think what he'll learn this time."
"He pines when I'm gone. He won't take food from anyone else.
Only 'cause they try to poison him. And no wonder."
Cutoff shook his head sadly and wandered back to his log pile. The coach turned up 5 minutes later, coming around the corner at speed. It drew level with the women and stopped. That is, the horses tried to stand still and the wheels locked. It wasn't so much a skid as a spin, and the whole thing gradually came to rest about 50 yards down the road, with the driver in a tree. The women strolled towards it, still arguing. One of them poked the driver with her broomstick.
2 tickets to Unkmore Pork, please."
He landed in the road.
"Well, what do you mean, 2 tickets to Unkmore Pork? The coach doesn't stop here."
"Looks stopped to me."
"Did you do something?" What, us? Listen, lady, even if I was stopping here, the tickets are $40 damn each.
Oh.